Welcome to Surgical Educator Podcast, the podcast to gain surgical knowledge on the go. I am your host, our Master of Ceremony, and today we are diving into the intricate world of cholangiocarcinoma, a significant contributor to obstructive jaundice. Understanding this condition is pivotal for medical students and surgical trainees. Joining us today is Professor Dr. Selvaraj, an experienced general and pediatric surgeon. Welcome, Dr. Selvaraj. Thank you for having me, MC. I am thrilled to discuss this important topic. Okay, doctor, what is the epidemiology of cholangiocarcinoma? Well, cholangiocarcinoma is relatively rare but varies in incidence globally. It primarily affects individuals over the age of 60, and risk factors include chronic inflammation of the bile ducts, primary sclerosing cholangitis, and liver fluke infestations like Clonorchis sinensis in certain regions of the world. What is the etiopathogenesis of cholangiocarcinoma, doctor? The exact cause is often unclear, but chronic inflammation, as seen in conditions like primary sclerosing cholangitis, can contribute. Genetic factors, bile duct cysts, and exposure to certain toxins may also play a role. Well, what are the types of cholangiocarcinoma, doctor? It could be intrahepatic or extrahepatic. Intrahepatic cholangiocarcinoma could be a cystic mass. The extrahepatic could be the distal bile duct tumor or the carbonized perihilar variety known as clot skin tumor that affects the proximal part of the extrahepatic biliary radicals. Well explained, doctor. What are the clinical features of cholangiocarcinoma? Well, the clinical features can include, number one, jaundice, a prominent sign due to bile duct obstruction by the growth, which is progressive in nature. Number two, abdominal pain, typically in the right upper quadrant. Number three, unexplained weight loss as the cancer progresses. Number four, pale stools and dark urine resulting from impaired bile flow because of A. coli stools, resulting in these A. coli stools. Number five, intensely itchy skin or severe pruritus. Number six, hemobilia, that is blood in the biliary duct, eventually end up with melena. Number seven, palpable non-tender gallbladder, which is according to the Courvoisier's law. Well explained, doctor. How is cholangiocarcinoma diagnosed? Well, diagnosis involves, number one, blood tests, assessing liver function and checking for tumor markers. LFT, you have to look for elevated total bilirubin, in which the direct bilirubin will be more than the indirect bilirubin. Tumor markers like CEA and CA99 both may be elevated. Number two, imaging studies such as CT scan, MRI or MRCP or ERCP to visualize the bile duct. Number three, biopsy, often obtained through fine needle aspiration or during endoscopic procedures, you can take a biopsy for definitive diagnosis. Well, how is cholangiocarcinoma staged, doctor? Staging involves determining the extent of the tumor spread. The TNM stage or the AJCC, American Joint Committee for Cancer Classification, is what internationally they are using this system only for staging purpose. You have to consider the tumor size, the nodal involvement and the metastasis, that is T, N and M. Well explained, doctor. What are the treatment options, the various options for cholangiocarcinoma? Well, the treatment varies based on the stage of the disease, but usually this includes, number one, surgery. If the tumor is resectable, procedures like the Whipple's operation or pancreatoduodenectomy or bile duct resection may be performed. Number two, chemotherapy and radiation, often used before or after surgery or to target the cancer cells. If we are using this chemo radio before surgery, that is called neoadjuvant chemo radio. If we are giving it after surgery, that is called adjuvant chemo radiotherapy. If some patients are getting both before surgery chemo radio, then surgery, then after surgery again, if they are getting this chemo radio, that is called sandwich therapy. Number three, liver transplantation in selected cases where the tumor is confined exclusively to the liver. spread outside the liver. Number four, palliations like ERCP stenting, photodynamic therapy or radio frequency ablation may be tried in advanced cases or in unresectable tumors. Well explained, doctor. What is the prognosis and follow-up for cholangiocarcinoma? Prognosis can be challenging as cholangiocarcinoma is often diagnosed at an advanced stage. Follow-up involves regular imaging, blood tests, and clinical assessment to monitor either the recurrence of the primary or occurrence of any secondaries anywhere in the body. Well explained, doctor. Are there various surgeries for cholangiocarcinoma? Surgical options include, this is only in early stages or operable or resectable cases, where we can do Whipple's procedure, that is the pancreatoduodenectomy, where removing the head of the pancreas, part of the small bowel, gallbladder and bile duct. Or bile duct resection is removing the affected portion of the bile duct. Only these two surgeries can be performed if it is in early stage. Thank you, Professor Dr. Selvaraj, for guiding us through the complexities of cholangiocarcinoma. This information is invaluable for medical professionals at all stages of their careers. It has been a pleasure, MC, and I hope this discussion helps our audience gain a deeper understanding of cholangiocarcinoma and its management. Early diagnosis and immediate timely intervention with multidisciplinary approach are very crucial for the final successful outcome in a case of cholangiocarcinoma. Absolutely, doctor. To our listeners, thank you for joining us for this episode of Surgical Educator podcast on cholangiocarcinoma. Keep exploring the world of surgery by watching all our other episodes as well. And until next time, stay curious. Bye-bye.